Motivates you. We talked about Denny Owen. What motivates you? And we've been looking at this will be our third message on motivations for your ministry. What motivates you to minister, to keep serving? And by the way, we're saved to serve, aren't we? We're not I'm Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me Christians. You know, that's not what we're here for. Somebody has said, I guess it was Jeff Fugit you mentioned, that you find a church and you get into church because you have a need and it meets the need. But you stay in the church because you're needed. You stay in the church because you're needed. And we're saved to serve, and so that's what the Bible says, and so there are these motivations that keep us ministering, which means to serve the Lord. And the first one in the introduction to 2 Corinthians, and we're in 2 Corinthians 5, by the way, and the first one is in 2 Corinthians 5. And it's found in verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands in the heavens." And then it says in this same chapter, "Absent from the body, we are present with the Lord." And so we know that. Faith is something that motivates me. It should motivate you. Faith is substance. It's a substance of something you can't see. It's as good as substance. It's as good as money in your hand. And the promises of God are wonderful. And so our faith is in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins as God in the flesh, was buried and rose again the third day. And if we put our faith in him, we are saved. And we can know for sure that if our body dies, our spirit, our soul, we're going to be present with the Lord, and we can know that. I remember going to the hospital, and I prayed as I was going to the hospital because they wanted to put Denny on a ventilator of all things, and he refused it, and I knew that he was late in his disease with the cancer, and I prayed on the way to the hospital, "Lord, take him. Lord, take him." When I got there, I thought he was sleeping, to be honest with you. He was on the bed. I thought he was sleeping. And I was talking to the family. I just kept talking. And then we said something. And they said, "Didn't you know, Pastor, he's gone?" And he was right there, his body. But he was with the Lord that quickly in answer to prayer. And I could say that because I know and am confident that a believer absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we're to baptize people for the dead. Baptism for the dead doesn't mean like the Mormons that you do proxy baptisms to save people after they die or help them after they die. It has nothing to do with that. It just means that a soldier has been graduated to heaven. He's out of the army now, and you have to baptize new people that God saved to replace the dead so that the army of God can move on. And so what motivates me is the faith to know that though this body may give out, if I serve this the Lord, I'm going to be with the Lord. And somebody just told me the other day, they just said, "Well, I don't want to work too hard. I don't want to get too tired in ministry because I'm afraid I'll get old too fast." And I was like, "Well, I don't know about that." I said, "Actually, I think when I serve the Lord, he keeps me going because I give him a reason to stick around. If I'm just doing nothing, he might as well take me out of here." That's the way I look at it. But anyway, that's what they were saying. It's a lack of faith. And so faith should motivate you to serve God and to realize that the only thing you can take out of here are people that you reach for Jesus Christ. And so that should motivate us. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. And the second thing that should motivate you is found in verse 9 and 10, and look at verse 10 right now. It says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And so when you die, like Brother Denny Owens just passed away, Rolaine Wolf passed away December 2015. Ralph Tolley just passed away. You don't receive your reward when you die. You go to heaven. It's glorious. But the rewards you don't receive until the work that you have done is finished. And it's not done when you die, because those lives that you touch, touch other lives who touch other lives. And all of those rewards are stored up. And at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will show you how, when you yielded your body to serve the Lord, how it influenced and touched other lives and brought other people. And then he's going to reward you in his kingdom. And he's going to give you work to do, but you won't have a weak mortal body. You'll have a glorified body, and it'll be great, and that will be a great opportunity to serve him even more in the kingdom to come. And so don't be short-sighted, he's saying, in your investments. Don't just try to get ahead in this life. See who can die with the most toys. Serve the Lord and get rewards, and he'll bless your life. And every day we ought to be thinking about that. And then the third thing that we want to see here is that you're to be motivated, according to verse 11, not only by the judgment seat of Christ, not only by your faith, but look at verse 11. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now that's not the judgment seat of Christ. That is talking about at the judgment seat of Christ that we just talked about, something that is an addition that motivates us to get those rewards is that people are dying and going to hell. And that we need to witness to people and give them the gospel. And it's through us giving the gospel that they're going to be saved from going to hell. Alicia mentioned her pop-up, and I was talking to her, and I said, what your pop-up needs is somebody that would get right up in his face and give him the gospel. And she said, well, how about you, Pastor? And I'm praying about going up there. I remember one time I actually was told to go to the hospital and see somebody and witness to them. And it was an older lady. And by the time I got there, she passed away. She passed away. And her grandson was slamming himself up against the walls. And I was so convicted that here she died and go to hell. And I didn't get there on time. I procrastinated. And sometimes, you know what? People will distract you, situations will distract you, and you'll procrastinate from doing the main thing. And I realized I procrastinated and I didn't get there on time, but the good news is that somebody had witnessed to her, a nurse from a church right up here in Factoryville area, a Bible-believing, Bible-preacher, witnessed to her that night before she died and led her to the Lord. But I didn't know about it. And so the Bible says that people are dying and going to hell. Brother Jack Hiles, he was burdened for his father, and he was a preacher, and he wasn't getting anybody saved. There was nobody having their lives changed. They weren't getting born again. And then what happened to him was his father died of a heart attack, unsaved, and he was so burdened about that he prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit, the fresh power of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, so he could witness. He prayed for that power of the Holy Spirit, and God's power came upon him and filled him. And after that, people got saved through his witnessing. People came down the aisle, their lives were changed through his witnessing. And so listen to me, it's not just giving the gospel, it's having the power of God. So when you're giving the gospel, guess what? God is working with you. And you're seeing people get saved by the power of God. And so the Holy Spirit of God needs to work with us. And we need to see people get saved and see people get baptized and see people added to the church. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell every day. And the church needs to do something in order to do that. And that's a motivation for you to serve the Lord. But I want you to look at another motivation today. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 5. And go to verse 14 with me, and I'll read it. You follow. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He says that the love of Christ constrains us. The terror of the Lord constrains us, but the love of Christ constrains us. I remember as a teenager reading my Bible, and I was terrified by dying and going to hell. And I realized that I was on my way to hell. I was going to die and go to hell. That terrified me. And I thought, what will it profit if I get everything in the world and I die and lose my soul in hell and I'm burning in hell forever and ever? The terror of the Lord constrained me to want to get saved. But it didn't save me. You know what saved me is when my grandmother told me about the love of the Lord. You know, D.L. Moody traveled and he met a guy while he was traveling named Henry Morehouse. He was a wild young guy. He was a gambler by age 16. He was a gang leader and a thief. And he got saved in 1859, in a revival in 1859. He began to preach. And guess what his favorite verse was? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved to talk about the love of God that sent his Son who died to save anybody that would believe upon him. And in 1867, he met D.L. Moody in Europe, and he had the nerve to invite himself to come to Mr. Moody's church in Chicago and preach. Moody agreed. He said, okay. And Moody then went on a large evangelistic trip, and when he returned, Morehouse had showed up at his church, and he was preaching a series of sermons on John 3:16. Moody's wife said, you got to listen to this guy. He doesn't preach like you. He preaches a little different than you. He tells sinners about the love of God for this world. And Moody sat there and listened, and Morehouse just kept turning back to John 3:16 and opening up more and more about the love of God. And Moody said that his heart began to thaw out. And it began to be warmed, and he began to thaw out, and he began to gush with tears from his eyes as he thought about the love of God, and it flooded him, and it changed his preaching, and his preaching won many more people to Christ by showing them the love of the dying Christ for the world. I think of Marian Owen. She wasn't even in a Baptist church. She was in a Catholic church as a young lady, and that's where she got saved. And the Holy Spirit broke through, and it was a Good Friday service, which Christ didn't even die on Good Friday, but she realized for the first time that Christ died for her on that cross, and that he died to take away her sins, and she was saved and blessed. And my wife, likewise, she was in a Southern Baptist church. She wasn't saved, and she didn't understand it. But then when she heard the gospel, she realized the love of Christ, that he died on that cross, and that's what would save her and take away her sins. And so Paul said, you know what? The love of Christ constrains me. That's what motivates me. That's what moves me. And you know what? When we get saved, as I said today, the Holy Spirit moves into our life. And guess what he does? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And he moves in our heart so that we become other person-centered. You know, some people are just me, 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 me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. Everything's centered on me. And you know what? God says, no, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. Why do we love? Because he first loved us. And he loved the world enough, and he loved us enough that he got outside of himself and he came down here to give his life, to serve by giving his life, by giving his blood to save us from our sins. And that love of Christ is something you need to see, and that will make you step out in faith, and that will make you love other people. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 that faith works. How does faith work? Faith works by what? By love. And so faith sees the flow of God, the love of God that starts everything, and that flow of God comes into us and flows through us by love, and we get involved in loving other people. And it's kind of like a stream. You see a stream going by, and you want to catch the wave of that stream, and you want to get into it. So you get your boat, and you jump into that stream, and your boat takes off. And the Bible says in Jude 1, it says, keep yourself in the love of God. You know what that means? That means that God so loved the world that he gave. It's not your love, it's not my love, it's God's love, and we've received it, but we need to stay in the flow of God's love. Let God's love motivate you. Let God's love move you and move you to love others, move you to tell others about the love of God, move you to serve others, and I believe that we need a fresh filling with the love of God. Amen? We need a fresh filling of the love of God, and people misunderstand people that are filled with God's love. But Paul said the love of Christ constrains us. That means it catches us. It's like a flow that's just going out, and it gets a hold of us, and it catches us, and it moves us. And people misunderstand it. Judas was not motivated by love. He was a thief. All he wanted was what he could get out of the church. He wanted the money. He wanted to take something. He was not motivated by love. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. It's way more blessed, and we need to have that love in our life. I met Dr. Jack Hiles, and the thing that impressed me, I heard he was a hard preacher. I heard he was a King James preacher. I heard he had high standards. I heard he could preach and all of that, but when I saw him, I came back. I was so overwhelmed with the love of God in his life. I said, that man has been filled with the love of God. Men of God that God has used in a great way, listen to me, they have understood the love of God in Christ for them. Jack Hiles learned it in Sunday school from Mrs. Bethel in Texas, and she talked about the love of God in his Sunday school class, and he never got over it. I remember going to Texas with Jack Hiles, going to all the places where he was touched by different things that happened in his life and his early ministry. And we went to where Mrs. Bethel taught the Sunday school class, and he went there. He didn't even have shoes on his feet, and he saw the love of God through her, and it touched him. And he never got over it. And I remember he was an ordinary man. He was a man. He was real. And I remember, you know, he would say something, and he would be maybe upset at something I did or somebody did. And I would see that on his face, and I could see it. He was irritated, you know. But the thing that amazed me about him, that would just go away, and the love of God would just take over. And it flowed through that man, and I remember... I remember going to Hiles Anderson College with my middle daughter, Mindy. She graduated from there. And I remember going there, and he said, did you win the contest this year? I hope you won. Did you win? Oh, he was disappointed. I didn't win that year. So I wouldn't be taking a trip with him that year. And he said, oh, you didn't win? Then he took a bunch of books out. He had books, and he started giving it to Mindy, giving it to me, books that he had. Just giving. The love of God flowing through him. God says, let the love of Christ constrain you to let go and let get into the flow of God's love, and let that love flow through you. You know, sometimes we're fearful to witness. We're fearful to get out and talk to other people. But you know what? Something that overcomes your fear, and that is, the Bible says, perfect or mature love casts out fear. You see, I used to be afraid to do anything, and then when the love of God began to move in my heart, I said, I got to let that out. I've got to get in the flow of the love of God. I've got to let God flow through me. I appreciate Brother Matt. He was there today. I knew he was there to serve, and he was there helping, and he gave off a whole day of work just to be there at the funeral, just to minister. He gave up a whole day of work because he's self-employed, and he was just trying to serve. And then the funeral director took us home from the gravesite, and he said, I'm sure you'll get somebody to be able to take you home. And so I asked somebody, and then they weren't going to be the ones. And then I thought about Brother Matt, and I asked him, and Brother Matt let us come home with him in the car and gave us a ride, and just there to serve. And I thank God for a church like that, that have a lot of Brother Matts in our church. And you're here to serve. Why? Because you've received the love of God. You've received the grace of God, and that's what changed your life. You know, I was not changed by the law of God. I was not changed by the terror of hell. I mean, it got me ready to get saved, but it didn't save me, you know. The law can't save you. You need the love and the grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ and the free gift of Jesus Christ. And when you have faith in that, that releases God's love in your life. It releases God's Spirit in your life. And it makes a difference. I believe in this church. I believe what makes a difference. You can trust God and you can go through your trials and everything. And you can keep hoping in God. But the Bible says that what really makes the difference is in Romans chapter 5. He says in Romans chapter 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. In other words, you're going along, you're trusting God, you're walking with God, and as you're meditating on the Lord, maybe singing praises to Him, praying to Him, God pours out His love in your heart. And that motivates you. And I think about that lady, Mary. She was somebody that was motivated by the love of God. Judas wasn't. He was motivated by money. He was selfish, always thinking of himself. He didn't have the blessing. He killed himself. He went to hell. What a life. But Mary, she believed and received the grace of God, the love of God in her life. And what did she do? She took an alabaster bottle full of expensive, fragrant perfume. And when the Lord came by, she poured it on the Lord. She broke the bottle. Judas was livid. He was like, why wasn't that taken and given to the treasury for the poor people? Well, he was the poor person that wanted it, right? And Jesus said, leave her alone. She has done this for my burial. That thing was worth about $50,000, $60,000. And she broke it. And he said, let her alone. She's done that for my burial. Well, when she did that, that broken bottle, it filled the whole room. And you know what? I believe when Jesus died on that cross and gave His life to save us, that makes a perfume that is just sweet-smelling in the life of the person that receives it. You see, Jesus will make you sweet. You know, the Moses and the children of Israel, they traveled in the wilderness and they came to the water and they wanted something refreshing to drink, you know. They came to get something and they came to the water. What was it? It was bitter. You know, sometimes you run into people, you're looking for a refreshment and they're just bitter. Church is bitter. Even preachers, bitter, you know. I don't want to be bitter, amen. I want to be blessed. And what was it that Moses was told to do to bless that water? What do you have to do?
Throw a branch in the water.
Yeah, throw a tree in that water. And I believe that is the tree of the cross. Our Lord was cursed on a tree. If you're hung on a tree, you're under. He took the bitterness of sin. He took the bitter poison. He took the bitter pill. Why? His love. And He died and He took that curse out of the way. And so that made the water sweet and they could drink it. And the love of God that died on that cross for us, He makes everything sweet, even the pain that Denny went through and the death that Denny went through. He, like I said today, he had his thumbs up when I talked about Jesus in that hospital room before he passed. He had his thumbs up because he believed in that love of God, and that's what made the difference in his life. And I remember I've said this before, but we used to have services here, and Dr. Ware used to preach. And we would come home to our college, and people at the college where I went, Baptist Bible, they went to all different churches all over. And we were starting this church here, and we would come home, and people would say to us, oh, we know where you've been to church. You must have gone to that Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And why was it? They smelled the perfume of God's love on us. They saw the glow on our faces like Stephen, which the Bible says his face glowed like the face of what?
An angel.
I knew you'd know, an angel. Now they gnashed on him. They didn't like that glow, right? But they gnashed on it. But they were glowing like a face of an angel. You know what? We've got a cursed world we're living in. Evil men and seducers around us are getting more devilish and horrible. You know what? We need to be more and more motivated by the love of God. And let the love of God flow through you. And what a blessing it is when you get involved in ministry and helping a Sunday school class or a bus ministry or giving and pouring out your life in some way in a music ministry. It was so wonderful to see all these people from the Catholic churches in this area and to see what made Denny Owen tick. And me being able to say, this is his Bethel. He's been here for 23 years. And the Christ that we preach here is what is the secret of his life. And you're his family. Denny loved his family. Denny loved his grandchildren, his children. But they need to see what makes him tick. And it's the love of Christ that makes us tick. It's what keeps us going. You know, we're not here for dead religion. Amen. Dead religion can't save you. Dead religion can't change anybody. It's the living Christ who died and rose again, and now his spirit is in us. And the Bible says that his spirit bears witness with our spirit, that his spirit is in us to make known his love. And the great men of God that really did something, they were filled with and baptized with that love of God, of the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask him, Lord, make known to me your love. Make known to me your grace. And then make it known through me to others. And he will do that. And so I just want to say tonight that not only your faith, not only the judgment seat of Christ, not only the terror of a real hell to save people, but God's love in Jesus is what will motivate us. And take in that love and let it flow out of your life. Let others see. And when they come to our church, let's get out of ourselves and be friendly and reach out and... And, oh, you say, well, I might get embarrassed. Hang your embarrassment. Hang your pride. Hang your vanity. Let's let the love of God flow out of us. Just like when that alabaster perfume was broken, they could smell the beautiful fragrance. It was worth $50,000. But what good was it doing sealed up where you couldn't smell it? When they smelled it, it went to the house. And may that be the case for our church. May we flow with the love of God in our lives. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. Let's bow for prayer.